Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast, your portal to the accessible digital lifestyle.
www.serotalk.com,
a production of Serotech Corporation, makers of System Access, the System Access Mobile Network, and SA2Go. Learn about new technology, cool software, useful websites, education, information, entertainment, user comments, and much more. And now, here's your host, Jamie Pauls.
Recalculating.
It's your point of interest for CSUN 2012. Hi, welcome back to Serotalk. I'm Joe Steinkamp.
And I'm Ricky Enger. And we decided to come back from San Diego and bring you all sorts of goodies. They fit in our suitcase with no problem.
That braille display was hard to get through TSA. Shh, don't tell anybody.
You said we would never talk about that.
Oh, there are many things that stay in San Diego, just like Las Vegas. But what doesn't stay in are these interviews, like the one that we're going to introduce right now from Switch Technologies to tell you about all sorts of crazy stuff that connects to the iPad. Welcome back to CSUN 2012 San Diego. I'm Joe Steinkamp, and I'm here with...
I'm Phil Weaver from Switchmajig.
Phil, tell us what's going on here at show. How's it going, and what'd you bring to show everybody?
It's going really well. There's a lot of people here. What I've got is a way to control adapted equipment, switch adapted equipment using an iPad.
Oh, wow.
So I've got a toy. It uses four switches to control the toy.
Okay.
Most switch adapted toys end up being sort of one dimensional. There's sort of one switch does one thing.
Right.
This one uses a combination of several switches. So hit one button to have it go forward, one have it to go forward and turn. So you can drive this thing around with a single point of contact,
okay,
as opposed to the original thing, which is quite inaccessible.
Okay. Have you ever tried that with VoiceOver and seeing if it picks up the buttons, or is it something where it really needs analog field and analog touch?
Since the input here is a touchpad,
right?
These touch panel things, I haven't found a way yet
to do that with the other touch layer, right?
Yeah.
But the buttons are in the same place, so you could memorize placement of the buttons, correct?
You could, or use a cue guard would be the other way.
Oh, that would work too. Okay, good point. Okay. So you could use a wireless keyboard maybe and go in that direction or something.
Yeah, that would be another option, yeah.
Excellent. So that's fantastic. What other connections could you do? I mean, we've got a toy here. Are there some other applications that the product works?
What I've done for my son, he's got cerebral palsy, was he set up to have him do some adaptive cooking.
Oh, wow.
So his sister was making cupcakes, and we set him up to run the mixer, to run a blender, to make frosting, and to use an electric can opener. So essentially anything you can switch adapt, you can use with this product.
That's wild. Okay. So for people that are not familiar with how to switch adapt, what would the connection kind of be? Or would this be difficult for others to walk through for individuals they may be trying to help?
It kind of depends how good you are with a soldering iron. The connections are pretty standard. So people somehow have ended up with this 3.5 millimeter, about 1/8 inch phone plug is kind of the standard thing that's on most mechanical switches.
Right.
So that's what we support. And there are videos on how to adapt things online.
Oh, good. Okay. They
give a pretty good idea of what's involved.
It's not like putting together IKEA furniture. It's a little easier, if I remember correctly. But
I don't know.
You don't have circles and arrows pointing at anything, so I think you're a little better off, but that's good.
Yeah. Although, I mean, some of these things, it ends up, like, especially for multiple switch adapter toys, if there's a circuit board in there, you kind of got to figure out what the circuit board is doing.
And there are people who make appliances or already furbished devices that already kind of connect and direct to. So if you don't want to do the home advantage, I've seen people online sell devices that you can connect.
Yeah, and AbleNet has a power link, and there's other things that will go from a switch to, like, wall power, to switch wall power for, say, a mixer or some other piece of electrical equipment.
Now, you've done this on the iPad. Is there a thought about doing it on the Mac App Store or other platforms, maybe?
I've got a little demo thing here that's using Android.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure what to do. It could be done with the Mac. I guess I haven't yet been asked for somebody who really wanted to do it with a Mac. It wouldn't be difficult at all to do
right there. With the touchpad that you can get separately for the Mac, maybe something like it or something to that effect.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm not quite sure what the interface would be. Yeah. The iPad's a pretty convenient interface.
And it's familiar for a lot of people. Yeah. Now, with Android, is that a tablet that you're using or a phone that you're using for connections on Android?
I'm using a tablet now. At some point, I'm looking at supporting phones or iPods, that different form factor. It ends up being better for certain types of disabilities.
Sure, that need to hold at a certain way or
just have
can't
limited,
grasp.
Maybe very precise control, but limited range of motion.
Absolutely.
My own son has cerebral palsy, and so he was sort of customer zero, and he has trouble picking out a particular location, but he's got pretty wide range of motion.
That makes sense.
So I kind of built the first one for him, but as I learn more, I'm going to make it work for a wider range of people.
Swiping is a little different than tapping and a lot different than using the old rollerball method in the past. So that's fantastic. Where can people learn more about the technology and maybe even read the description of the app on the App Store?
The app is called Switchamajig.
Okay.
That's like spelled like thingamajig, but with a switch.
Okay.
I'm at www.switchamajig.com.
Okay.
And the booth we're in here is Technology for Education. And they're at tfeinc.com.
Excellent. Fantastic. Well, thank you, and you have an excellent show, and thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. This is Joe Steinkamp for the Saratog Podcast Network.
Live for the Saratog Podcast Network, I'm Ricky Enger, and I'm at CSUN 2012 with Allison Hilliker of Bookshare. Hello, Allison.
Hello.
Great to have you, and we'd love to be able to broadcast the Bookshare party because that's always fun, but unfortunately we won't be able to do that. We will, however, be able to talk about Bookshare itself. First of all, for those who are not familiar with what Bookshare is, give us a quick overview.
All right, Bookshare is an online library of accessible, digital, downloadable books for people with print disabilities, and that print disabilities includes blindness and low vision, which, as I know, most of the listeners are experiencing. And what we are is we have a website, which is www.bookshare.org, and that's where you can download books. We have over 135,000 books in our collection, and they're in a variety of different categories. And you become a member of our site, you go to the sign up link on our website, and you're able to join, and you get a username and password, and you can download books from our site.
135,000 books.
Right.
That is incredible.
Yes, it's pretty amazing. I'm blind myself, so I'm a Bookshare member in addition to working for Bookshare. And so I've used Bookshare myself, and I think it's pretty incredible how many books we have access to. Our books are available in DAISY or BRF Braille Ready formats. So if you're someone who likes to listen to books, you can listen to them. If you like to read in print and enlarge the font, you can do that. And if you're someone who likes Braille, you can read our books in Braille using Braille displays or embossing the books. So I love our versatile formats. That's one thing I'm very excited about Bookshare about.
Very cool. And I know that even with 135,000 books, there are still sometimes books that people don't yet have access to. What can people do if they really want a book and it's not available on Bookshare yet?
All right. Well, one thing you can do is go to the Contact Us link on our website. And if you're a student, whether that's K-12, college, or graduate school, we will put the book in our collection. We will get it and scan it and make it available to you. We prioritize our student requests. And if it's for a non-student, it's just a recreational book, then we will try to get it for you. We'll put it on our wish list. And our wish list is where the requests go. And we take books from the wish list as we can. But what is exciting about the wish list is that also goes to our volunteer community. And volunteers scan and proofread books for Bookshare. And so a volunteer who may be interested in scanning a book, but they're not sure what they want to scan, they'll look at the wish list then, and they'll be able to know what books you want, and they'll hopefully be able to scan the book you're looking for.
Very good. I know that Bookshare is interfacing with some publishers, and we're seeing a lot of publisher quality books, and that number seems to be growing all the time. What happens when there's a publisher whose books aren't being provided in publisher quality yet? What can someone do to perhaps suggest either to Bookshare or to the publisher that partnership happens?
Well, the best thing to do is we have a publisher liaison. Her name is Robin Seaman, and she is an incredible person, and she'd be happy to help facilitate that interaction with the publisher. And so the best thing to do is to go to the contact us link on our website and say, I would like to see books from this publisher. I'd like to help facilitate that relationship. Right. And we'll be able to get you in touch with Robin, and she can help you advocate with the publisher. We prefer you go directly through Bookshare because we have some publisher relationships in process, so we'd rather work with you rather than have individuals go out and contact publishers individually.
That makes sense. It's not just on the PC or Mac, though, that people can read books, right? We
absolutely
have a Read2Go app. Yay.
Yes, for iOS devices, which is the iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch, we have an app called Read2Go. It's Read2Go. And it's in the App Store, and it's available for $19.99. And it's really exciting because you can, from within the app, search the Bookshare website, download the book from the website directly into the app, and then it creates a bookshelf where you can store your books to read them, and you're able to actually read the book on the device, and you can listen to the book using the voices that come with the app. They're called acapella voices, and you can listen using those, or you can use VoiceOver, which is the built-in screen reader, to listen to the book. The print also displays on the screen, and you can adjust the font and the highlighting and such, so if you want to read it that way. And then also, the Read2Go app will work with Braille displays if you're someone who wants to read the book in Braille. So there again, it's that really versatile format. And so we're really excited about Read2Go. I use it myself almost every day to read books. I think it's a lot of fun. There's navigation options within the app itself, so you can navigate by page or by phrase. You can create bookmarks in the book. And when you close out of the book, it will save your spot, so you'll be able to pick up where you left off when you go to read next time.
Great. Yeah, I love it myself, actually. How about for the Android fans? Anything coming for the Android platform?
Absolutely. We will have an app for Android coming very soon. I can't say just when it will be out. We can't give you a date just yet, but it is on the way. It's in testing right now, and it should be available to you very soon. It won't be called Read2Go. It's going to be its own app, but you'll be able to read Bookshare books on the Android devices very soon.
Good deal. So people can learn more information at bookshare.org. Anything else you'd like to share?
Absolutely. Our books also, in addition to the iOS devices, work on a variety of other assistive technology devices. They will work on note takers like Braille Notes, PacMates, and Braille Senses. They work with the different screen readers if you want to listen to them on your computer, and they work with these different screen enlargement programs. If you have a digital book player like a BookSense or a Victor Reader Stream, you can read our books that way. So there's a lot of the different options there, again, of how to read our books. We also have a variety of categories. I urge you to browse the site. We have books in as diverse categories as science fiction and fantasy and romance and biographies and self-help and just a lot of different categories.
Something for everybody.
Absolutely, we have something for everybody. And we also have newspapers and periodicals available. So you can download the newspaper and read that if you want to, which is kind of nice. It's not something we've always had access to in the past, so it's another way to get that information, which is good. And so I urge you to go to our website. You can do a search. There's a search box on our webpage. There's also an advanced search link where you can search by title, author, ISBN, or keyword and see what books we have available. And I definitely encourage you to do that so you can find out about what books we have and what you want to read, and so you'll want to sign up and get a membership of your own.
Thank you very much, Allison, for sharing information with us. It's always a pleasure to learn more about Bookshare.
Right, and folks who want to sign up, Bookshares are free for students, K-12 and college. That's also true for graduate students, and Hadley students qualify for the free memberships. And for non-students, the memberships are $50 a year with a one-time $25 setup fee. But if you sign up here at the conference, we waive the $25 setup fee.
Sweet.
So it's pretty exciting. I really encourage people to sign up and start reading.
Yes, it is definitely well worth it. Thank you again, Allison.
You're very welcome, and thank you. I really enjoy talking with you, and I enjoy the Sarah Talk podcast, so thank you so much.
For the Serotalk Podcast Network, I'm Ricky Enger.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to CISO in San Diego 2012. I'm over here in the Optelec booth with
Michael Venshake.
Hi, Michael. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on here. How is the new 5-inch unit working out for you guys? Yeah. I talked to Stefan back at ATIA, and is it doing good?
It's doing good, and Optelec, you know, we see the trend of people getting more and more, who have MD, get more eye shots from Lucentis and Avazin, so scotomas get smaller. So there's a trend towards smaller magnification.
Right.
But high contrast is needed. So to cater to this growing community, the HD5 starts as a magnification level of 1.5 to 18 times. So the benefit is that you serve a bigger growing community, and the small magnifiers, electronic magnifiers, usually start at 5x,
right?
And that is too big for them.
Yeah.
And plus the 5HD has a 5-inch screen, so you have a lot more context, and you can read actually a lot more, and you don't have to move the device so much over the paper. So actually, it's a real step forward in that sense. It's the first device which goes through such a low magnification. And it's an HD, so yeah, the image quality is also a step forward from what it was.
Well, I think a lot of people, you know, hear the size like a cell phone or something like a 4.3 or 4.7, but 5-inch actually seems to be easier to carry to me than, say, a 7-inch unit or something like that, you know? And that's what I kind of like about the compact in the 5-inch range, is that it does allow you to see more on the screen at a lower magnification. But the screen isn't so big that it can't necessarily fit in a laptop bag, a purse.
Exactly. It is a small device. Actually, it is about the same size as our older 4.3-inch device.
Oh, the
so
old,
actually,
yeah.
the total package didn't grow, but the screen grew relative to the total package. So it's still a very portable device. And so also the weight is a little bit less. So.
And the contrast is way,
and the contrast
wow,
is
really, way different.
Yeah, it's a very, very high contrast ratio. So, but it is a good, it's a step in the direction. What a lot of people are waiting for is, okay, how do we help people which need contrast, but a lower magnification
right.
level. So that's that. Secondly, we introduced the Twin View.
Oh, that okay. Yeah,
the Twin View is actually a screen. A lot of folks who have home offices or access to work environments, they always battle with efficiency, you know, and they, so in order to have the live image and the computer image together, you want it in a way that you can do what you need to do in an efficient manner. And this Twin View is a high definition screen. Where you have, you can set on the screen exactly the split where you want it.
Exactly.
And so you can move it up and down or left and right, and so it makes it very simple. And it has, you can connect all sort of devices to it with a VGA or a DVI connection.
And it was ZoomText friendly, if I remember right.
ZoomText so. Friendly, also the latest version of ZoomText.
Right.
And it works. It works with all the screen magnification software, and
there's still the traditional clear view
and clear view or
the far view even for those people who want to have good distance vision.
Yeah.
The far view is a perfect example of being able to carry something portably.
Yeah.
Because some people who use, say, a telescope or a monoscope, they might respond better to that contrast that we were talking about before, where the lighted screen is easier to see than it is sometimes with dealing with room light. And that's a perfect place for the far view to be able to read across the room and things like that.
Yeah, that's indeed very much so. But also you see the clear reader being connected as well. So
the clear reader also had a feature pack, right? Doesn't it?
Yeah, the feature pack. So you have a video output.
Right, okay.
And so you can have the video output of the captured image. and you have the outputs of the let's say the computer image.
Right.
So all that combined and in a screen which is very easy to adjust and that in full HD. So that means that you're not having a diminished quality somewhere. So you really have the benefit of a very sharp image.
Well, I think the thing that people forget about Optolike products is that you have the ability to upgrade. If you start off in one place, the feature pack might be something that you consider later on because you might sit there and go, you know, I didn't think I needed masking or line and windows, but now that I've used it for a while, I could really use that. I don't have to go and get a whole nother unit now. I can just look into the feature pack. And that exists not only just in low vision, but like you said, on the clear reader and in the Braille display line.
Yeah. No, the idea is that we use platform so technology, so the building blocks are all backwards compatible. So it's when there are new demands, we just develop the module which fits again to the total concept, and so you people can grow with it. It's also for instant repair, so people are never down with the system. It's just an instant replacement, and they can go on. So system doesn't have to be sent all over the United States to get repaired for a couple of months.
Exactly.
No, it is the modularity offers the benefit of keeping systems up to date.
Exactly.
With the latest opportunities. But also from a service point, that's very practical. So you have it from the Braille side, from the Braille line, the Clear Reader is a modular, the Clear View. So these are more platform-based development.
And you've got a system of dealers all around the country, so people can get a chance to see these units in action, get a good feel for themselves, and where can they learn more about the products?
Well, we have a website, it's optolike.com, and we have a phone. People can always call in. The 800 number is 800-826-4200.
Fantastic. Michael, thank you for taking some time out and talking with me today.
Okay, Joe, thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Have a good day.
You too, and have a great show.
Okay.
Live for San Diego, 2012 Sun Conference, it's Joe Steinkamp reporting for the Serotalk Podcast Network. It's always good to find out about what new things are available at CSUN. Video magnifiers are getting bigger again. 5 inches of that for the compact, and honestly, that really is a good sweet spot. I kind of sort of like it, Ricky. It's not 4 inches. It's not a big tablet at 7 or 10. It kind of sort of feels right for video magnification. So I really like that unit. It's something that I think people should go out and check out on their own with like any of this stuff. If you're interested in the equipment that you're hearing about, definitely head out to a vendor or retailer of this equipment and see it for yourself.
I know one thing you don't like, Joe, is math. However, let's check out how the guys from Design Science are making math not only fun, but accessible.
2 plus 2 is 5?
See, son. See, son, run. Run, son, run.
Oh, that's boring. I don't want that.
Now for something slightly more interesting, here's another interview from CSUN 12 on SPN.
Live at CSUN 2012 for the Serotalk Podcast Network. I'm Ricky Enger, and I'm here with Neil Seufer of Design Science. Hello, Neil.
Hi, Ricky.
Glad you could join us. I think this may be your very first Serotalk Podcast interview.
I think so, and I hope I don't say anything that will be captured for the rest of time. That's embarrassing.
Oh, that's all right. We'll just have people point and laugh at you, and we'll send you all the comments. And,
okay.
That'll be great. So tell me a little bit about what Design Science does.
Well, Design Science is their main product is a product called MathType. It's the most used product. It's used inside of Apple's Pages and Microsoft Word and inside of other products also. It's a math editor. Allows you to type in math equations and put them in documents, put them in learning management systems and so forth so that the math looks like math in a regular textbook would look like. The accessibility angle, though, is that using MathType and Word as a centerpiece, you can use other products that work with ours to produce, say, a Braille document via Duxbury's DBT or UPlus's Tiger software suite. You could do large print if you need to do large print. You can generate a web page, and using our free, and that's a nice word to be able to say here,
absolutely,
our free MathPlayer plugin for Internet Explorer, you can generate that web page and have the web page spoken to you. Works with most screen readers, and so that's a very convenient thing. You can also generate Daisy books using the Save as Daisy plugin and our Math Daisy product to generate a Daisy book that, again, the Daisy players that work with math will speak it and Braille it and so forth. So we offer a lot of accessibility options from that sort of word plus math type center viewpoint. So
expand a little bit on how the Daisy bit of this works. So let's say you've got a Microsoft Word document that has a math equation amidst some other text. Now, how do we render it to Daisy now? Is this a Word plugin, or is this?
Yeah, so the Daisy Consortium worked and developed a plugin for Microsoft Word. It's called Save as Daisy. You can go out on the web and Google it. It's a free plugin. You download it. It installs itself into Word. And then we have a product called Math Daisy. It's relatively cheap, especially compared to all the other booths around here who are selling very expensive software. And it will add the words to speak to the math. And so that you install, you have math type, you have Word, you have the Save as Daisy. And then once you have your document typed up with some math in it, you go to the Word menu, you go and choose Save as Daisy, you choose the format in Daisy you want, and off it goes. There's a few questions it asks you along the way about where you're gonna save the file and so forth. And it all automatically chugs along and produces a Daisy book. And once you've got your Daisy book, you can distribute that Daisy book to others, or you can go play it yourself right then and there using either GH's Read Here or using Dolphin's
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Dolphin's Easy Reader.
Yes,
that's what
Easy
I was saying.
Reader.
That's right. I'm sorry.
There we go.
Yeah, so it's all really pretty automatic. It plugs through. It depends on the quality that you get out for your Daisy book. It depends on how well structured your Word document is. But if you've used styles instead of changing to boldface or whatever for headings, and you use the proper tagging as you build your Word document up, you get a very nice Daisy book out in the end. And it's all relatively easy to do, so you could do it yourself, or you can get an assistant to do it, or the Disability Students Services Office can easily do it for the professor or whoever produced the original document.
So you talked about the MathPlayer plugin for Internet Explorer. Is this exclusively for Internet Explorer, or does it work with other browsers?
Right now it's exclusively for Internet Explorer. It's when we first introduced MathPlayer, Internet Explorer was by far the dominant browser. It's since lost its share of the market, and we're aware of that. And we are working towards a solution that allows us to work with all the browsers on Windows, although not all the browsers are accessible yet. And also, we have a grant through the Department of Education, along with ETS, they're the people that do the SAT. We're working towards actually having the math directly in a Word document speak, and so you won't need to save it at all if you want to have it work with screen readers. So we're working on that also, and it's going to be part of that same solution that we have to get it to work with all the various browsers.
That's very exciting. I know that one thing that's very commonly a problem for blind students, I can speak from experience, is having a way to interpret math accessibly. And a lot of people are sort of turned away from maybe pursuing a career that's math heavy because of that. And it's good to see that things are changing.
Yeah, things are definitely improving quite a bit. I think the what we produce basically is speech. But because you can generate Braille out of that document, you can get it out on a refreshable Braille display, I think the situation has really improved quite a bit. I think the next frontier will be sort of actually solving a problem as opposed to just entering copying it and changing it and sewing it and so forth. That's a really interesting problem. Hasn't really been solved well for sighted people, let alone for someone who's blind, but that's, I think, the next big frontier. I think we've really cracked the nut in terms of readability of a document, and that's gotten much easier, and it continues to get better and better in that respect.
Yes, it's a very positive thing.
Yeah.
So for people who want to learn more information about what design science does, what's the best way to do that?
Well, we have a website, as everybody else does. Ours is www.DESSCI, so design, DES, and science, SCI, DESSCI.com. We actually have a number of web pages on that site. When you go there, there's some links for it for discussing math accessibility in general. We have some pages that talk about the number of products that work with our solutions in terms of brailleing and speech and so forth. So there's a lot of information on our site about math accessibility, and I definitely recommend anyone who's interested in finding out more to come to our site and take a look.
Very good. I really appreciate your taking the time to talk to us, and this is fantastic information.
Well, thank you. Glad to have a chance to talk.
Absolutely. I'm Ricky Anger for the Saratog Podcast Network.
CSUN plus Sarotech equals Race Coverage. And you're listening to it right here on SPN Radio.
Welcome back to CSUN 2012 here for the Saratog Podcast Network. I'm Joe Steinkamp, and I'm with my good friend Brian from Magnesite. Brian, good to see you, brother.
Great to see you, Joe.
It's been a long time. So, the Explorer line is still around, but you got this new thing called the HD. Let's talk about this unit you got here for show.
Be glad to. Yeah, this is the new Explorer HD. I think you're going to see HD really come into the marketplace now. The cameras are getting more affordable. HD gives you about twice the resolution of a traditional camera.
Okay.
So you get a much brighter, much sharper, much more stable image. Here we have the Magnesite 24-inch. We also make it in a 22-inch. We have it on an arm, so you can raise it up and down. The controls are out in the front. On the controls, we have zoom and brightness. We have modes. We have the false colors, and then we have capture. And then basically, you can put your paper down here on the XY table. One of the big advantages of HD is we get this huge field of view. So we're looking at a piece of paper here that's 8.5 by 11. We can actually see beyond the 8.5 from side to side.
Oh, wow. So if you put something out to the margin, or
right,
maybe you're using a ruler.
Right. So if you're looking at a piece of paper, the real advantage of that is if you have good sight, you don't really even need to magnify it. You just move the paper up because you can see it all at once. That's what everybody wants to do, see it all at one time.
Yes, you know. If you're going to do formatting, or if you're going to see where you are on a letter, where to sign.
Right.
And the other thing is because it's HD, you can get really good quality
image at a low
at a lower magnification.
Yeah, this starts out at 2x on the 24-inch, 2x to 70x, and then I don't know, on the 22 is like 2 to 60x, something like that.
Yeah.
But the other real advantage is that low end, and you kind of alluded to it, is that you can do the like if you're looking at a map or pictures, you can zoom out, kind of orientate to where you're going to go on the picture,
right,
and then you zoom in on the picture. It, you know, my dad always used to bring me pictures, and I can never get it small enough.
Yeah.
So I had to move the picture around on the screen. We're not on the HD. You just throw it up there, like, okay, you know, there's mom. I want to see mom's face.
Exactly.
And
put the finger on it and then zoom in.
Right,
but now you have something to aim at. So that works out a little better.
Or like if you're looking at a magazine, you can kind of see the whole magazine at once, looking at a book, a graph, a chart. And it's good orientation. It always kind of reminds me of like the old maps. You started out really big, and then you keep folding it in as you come into your spot, you know.
Exactly. Zoom in, zoom out, like on Google Maps or something. The good thing about this unit is that it's nice and durable. That's always been a Magnesite quality, is that you don't have to worry about controls wearing out.
Yeah.
You've got fragmentational control, analog control in a way, because, you know, that's really important. If somebody's used to the old style CCTV, maybe they've been using it for 20 years or something like that, they'll feel very comfortable on a Magnesite.
Yeah, Magnesite's, you know, really known for lasting forever.
Right.
They don't break down, and that's a really good thing. Yeah, we use metal construction. It's a little bit more old-fashioned, but you know, it holds up. And,
exactly.
And I know people that have machines that are 10 years old that are still working, 15 years old still working, you know. We put the controls out on the front, down underneath the monitor now, so that makes access much easier. They are push-button type controls. But the big thing also we really try to come in on this is to make the HD affordable.
Right.
So this is a full HD 720p output. We're selling a 22-inch at $29.95 and a 24-inch at $31.95. You know what, folks? That's the price of a standard camera, standard system. And if you were here to see the image, it's just a night and day difference on the quality of the energy. So
if they wanted to see something, they could contact you and Magnesite?
Right, Magnesite. It's www.magnesite.com, or we got a toll-free number, 1-800-753-4767. I'm Brian Smith. It's Brian S. at Magnesite.com. I'm the president, owner, bottle washer.
And a low vision person. So you know you've got something going on. If this guy can see it, then you probably will see it just fine as well.
I'm a star guarder. And that's kind of what makes Magnesite a little different is, the person that owns it has the problem. And that's really big when it comes to, I am fortunate that I have a design team and I have a manufacturing team. So I can say, well, you know what? I couldn't get it in the box. I couldn't find the hole. I couldn't see the switch. I couldn't, so.
Steve Jobs of low vision,
right.
You are. There
it,
you
it
go.
Is, it's designed from a low vision perspective. So.
Absolutely. Brian, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. Thanks for coming by.
You bet.
It's been a good CSUN.
You bet. Absolutely. And go hit that website, magnesite.com. For CSUN 2012, I'm Joe Steinkamp reporting for the Saratalk Podcast Network.
Live at CSUN 2012 for the Saratalk Podcast Network. I'm Ricky Enger, and I'm here with Jenny Axler from HIMSS. Hello, Jenny.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been forever since we've interviewed you, about 28 days or so.
Right.
But it is always nice to talk about HIMSS products, and I've just been taking a few minutes to look at the U2 and the Braille Edge, and it's all looking great. For those who didn't hear the previous interview, why don't you tell us a little bit about what the latest is with HIMSS?
Okay, well, we have two main new products. We have the BrailleSense U2. The BrailleSense U2 is the successor to the BrailleSense Plus. It has four times the storage at 32 gigabytes. It has twice the processor speed at a 1 GHz CPU. This is for all the techies.
Yep.
It has 256 mega RAM, which again is twice the RAM. Everything's faster. Everything's more powerful. It also has Windows CE 6, so we've got a better browser. Unzipping times are much faster. You name it, it's all much more powerful, and it's all faster. We have... in January, we had the BrailleSense model with the Perkins-style keyboard. We now also have the QWERTY model. We're showing that. The QWERTY model is thinner, it's lighter, and it's a little bit deeper from front to back because it has a larger, more comfortable keyboard. So it's definitely a much improved model, and it has all of those same specifications. We have four USB ports on this thing. It has built-in GPS and compass. We are also featuring, we're now showing Google Maps. We have a Google Maps application, which we weren't showing in January. We also have a direct Bookshare search and download app that we weren't showing in January. So we have a few, besides the new products, we have a little bit of new software as well. Then we're also showing the Braille Edge 40. This is a 40-cell Braille display. It also has it has a Perkins-style keyboard. It has two four-way navigation keys, one on each end. So these are nav keys for up and down and left and right arrows. It also features eight function keys for things like control, insert, escape, windows, applications, things like that. And that really makes it nice because you have the, people like to use a Perkins-style keyboard a lot with a PC. We have a lot of people who, Braille users just prefer Braille, but it also gives you that functionality. So if you're doing, insert F4, you can actually do, you can press insert and then your combination that makes F4. So you don't have to memorize a lot of interesting combinations like you do with a lot of the other Braille displays when you're working with a PC. So that's what we have new. We also, since January, have released our BookSense Master transfer software. This is for the BookSense, and basically what it does is it locates BookSense playable content on your PC and then allows you to select it and add to a transfer list, and it'll automatically transfer to the BookSense, put it in the correct folders. If it's something like an NLS or a Bookshare book, it will go ahead and unzip it for you. You can enter your password and save it in there, so you don't need to, when it goes ahead and transfers, it'll automatically deal with that with Bookshare. So it's very automatic. Makes it much, much easier for those to forget where everything goes or forget how to extract and all of that. So
I actually love this sort of software, because even though I do have the tech savvy to know how to do it, it makes it easier just to say, I want to transfer this, 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 and this. Now go.
Yes.
And it does.
It does. It does. It's very nice. So
tell me a little bit about the Braille Edge with the SD card capability. Does this mean that you can actually load, say, Bookshare books and take this Braille display away from the PC and be able to read?
Oh, yes. I'm very glad you asked. Yes, the Braille Edge, in addition to being a Braille display, has some standalone apps. One of them is called Notepad, but it also allows you to read Braille and text documents. And yes, it has an SD card slot. It will take up to a 32 gig SDHC card. And it will, like I said, it'll read text and Braille documents. So it won't do the Bookshare Daisy, but it will do the Bookshare BRF and, of course, the NLS BRF. So it's very, it's excellent for reading books on the go. You can, it has a file explorer type control, so you can easily navigate your SD card. And what's really cool is it either lets you see everything on the SD card, or it will let you see only the readable content, so you don't actually have to sort all your stuff. So
nice.
That's pretty cool. It also has a scheduler, basically a planner. It has a calculator, and it also has an alarm clock, and that kind of goes in, you know, along with the planner, so you can set alarms and reminders and stuff like that as well. So it's not a full-fledged note taker, and even the word processor, the notepad, you can easily take notes with it, but it is a basic, you know, it's not meant to replace a note taker, but it is really nice to have some of that basic functionality, and it's very easy to switch between your terminal mode and your notepad, so you can jump away and take notes, and you know, internally, and then you can jump back to your screen reader and connect to your iPhone or your PC or your Mac, so it's very cool.
Definitely. And what is pricing and expected release for that?
Okay, it's $29.95, and we expect it to be released in April.
This is
the U2 Braille version is expected to start shipping in mid-March, and that is $59.95, the same price as its predecessor, the BrailleSense Plus. We also have the QWERTY version, which we think will probably ship around June, and it's also $59.95. We do have trade-in programs right now, so if you have an older note taker, if it's a BrailleSense, or we also take BrailleNotes and PackMates. So definitely check out our trade-in values. They are a little bit different, so I won't go through them all here, as they do kind of vary depending on what model you have, but we definitely do have trade-in programs. We also have a 5% off discount on the Edge if you order it before the end of March.
Good deal. For all of those who want to go and read more about the products, what's the best place to go to do that?
You can visit our website at www.hims-inc.com. That's HIMS-INC.com. Or you can call us at 888-520-4467.
Awesome. It's always great talking with you and getting information about excellent HIMS products.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks a lot. For the Saratalk Podcast Network, I'm Ricky Inger.
Check out AT Guys for a wide variety of accessories for your iOS device. Tactile screen protectors, powerful external batteries, compact Bluetooth keyboards, cases, and more. Visit ATGuys.com or call 269-216-4798 to accessorize your mobile device today. AT Guys, your assistive technology experts.
You know, some people say that worlds collided when the Ricky Inger of HIMS met up with the real Ricky Inger of Serotech. But I got to tell you, I stood right there, and it was interesting to see you two talk about what you guys really enjoy most, which is technology.
Yes, and there is no other like Jenny Axler. She knows her stuff, and it was a pleasure interviewing her because girl power! Woo!
That's right. I actually remembered all the names of the Powerpuff Girls on the floor while watching these two ladies work their magic. And that would be Blossom, Buttercup, and Bubbles. So I do remember all of those. And you know, honestly, you want to know why I know that kind of thing? Go over to www.eolshow.com. That's right. That's www.eolshow.com. You'll learn a lot about science fiction, books, movies, food, and other stuff that Ricky and I talk about.
And this nerd stuff, or geek stuff, depending on which you want to be, may not be something that you want to bring up when you're searching for a job. The guys at the Job Accommodation Network can help you with this and much more.
Live at CSUN 2012 for the Saratog Podcast Network, I'm Ricky Anger, and I'm here with Teresa and Elizabeth from the Job Accommodation Network. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
So this is actually the first time that we've had the opportunity to interview this particular organization, and it's kind of a shame because you guys do some very interesting things. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how the Job Accommodation Network works?
Well, basically, we're a nonprofit. We're funded by the Office of Disability Employment Policy at the Department of Labor, and we give free information and free consultations over the phone and internet about the Americans with Disabilities Act and about things that might help someone in the workplace. For example, what kind of equipment might help?
What types of people generally contact you? Is it employers who want to do the right thing for someone that they're hiring, or is it people who are in a situation where they need job accommodations and they're not sure how to go about doing that?
Actually, it's both. About half of our calls come from employers, and the other half come from individuals who are seeking information to help themselves. And we get a few calls from voc rehabilitation counselors and other professionals that might be trying to help someone. Sometimes friends and family members call too. We'll talk to anybody.
There you go. I'm sure that a lot of research has to go into what types of accommodations are even available, because things like this are constantly changing. How exactly does that work, and how do you ensure that the network is always kept up to date with what is truly available for people out there?
Well, we spend a large portion of our day on the internet researching different types of products that might be available and trying to keep ourselves as up to date as we possibly can. We're constantly updating our website so the information is current. And then we go to conferences such as CSUN so we can visit other exhibition booths and see what products might have just been released or what we need to know about. So that way we're able to help anyone that contacts us.
Very good.
Tell about the JAN study. Yeah, we also conduct a study that looks at the cost of accommodations and the benefits of providing an accommodation. It's a study that's conducted and the results are released on an annual basis. And we gather information from employers and they report to us the cost of providing an accommodation when there is one, which over half the time there's not a cost of providing an accommodation, and the benefits of providing those accommodations.
Do people ever contact you? I know that many people contact you about what types of accommodations are available, but do people ever contact you about perhaps being in a situation where they need an accommodation, but the employer or somebody involved isn't following through with making that accommodation available and they need to know next steps? Do you guys help with that?
Absolutely. We can help somebody who's at the initial stages and not sure how to request an accommodation or who to turn to. We can work with someone and provide suggestions on how to do that and who they might need to speak with. And all the way through the process, if they are not getting the response that they had hoped for from their employer, we can give them some guidance on what next steps they might need to take, or if they've been provided with an accommodation and it might not be working out as they had hoped, we can help them in revisiting that situation. So all stages of the accommodation process, we can be available to assist with.
Great. So for people who want to learn more or perhaps take advantage of what you guys do, what's the best way to check you guys out?
Well, you can contact us. We're available on the phone. You can also reach us through our website at askjan.org. We have a number of features on our website, including email, JAN on demand, and a live chat feature as well.
Do you have any presence on Twitter?
We are present on Twitter. We're also available on Facebook and Second Life. All the social networks we try to keep up with, we're on MySpace and LinkedIn. YouTube videos are available, and GovLoop as well.
Excellent.
We get a lot of questions through Facebook, actually.
Yeah, Facebook is a great way for people to interact, as is Twitter. I know for my own company, people often will ask and get more answers on a social network because they're maybe a little afraid to pick up the phone, or perhaps they have a really quick question that can be answered by social media. So it's great that you guys are present with that. I'd like to thank you both, Elizabeth, Teresa, for spending a little time with us. And again, that website is
AskJan, A-S-K-J-A-N .org.
Very good. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Yes, it's a great place to go.
I'm Ricky Enger for the Saratok Podcast Network. Huh?
It's Joe Steinkamp back here in San Diego for CSUN 2012, and I'm here with
Dave Beavers.
Hi, Dave, and we're going to take a look at the Flicky, or Flick.
Flick camera.
There we go.
Flick camera is a new device that we just introduced at ATIA in Orlando about 4 weeks ago. This is the second time we've shown it at a trade show. It got a very favorable response. The product is really designed as a camera system for distance viewing, near viewing, and text reading, all in one portable camera system. It will work with touchscreen tablet PCs, regular Windows 7 PCs, and in a month and a half, Macs.
Oh, wow. Okay. So the device, you said, allows you to do both near and distance vision.
Right.
And it's kind of automatic in the way that it does that. Can you explain it a little bit?
The camera is motorized. In a portable unit, it weighs about 3 pounds. It's battery driven, about 9 hours life in the battery on normal use.
Wow.
The motors switch the camera between distance viewing and near viewing.
Gotcha.
And also control the near view lens. So the user doesn't have to interact with the camera at all. The idea is that a student in a classroom has an immersive environment where they can view in the screen everything they need to see and manipulate the screen to where the teacher or the professor is moving around the room and zero in on areas of interest without having to look up and manually position a camera.
For our audio listeners, can you describe the controls that you would do to use that?
So the controls are actually touch. If they are the touchscreen controls, mouse controls, or keyboard controls, we have all three.
Wow.
With a touchscreen tablet, you literally point where you want it to go, and the camera moves to that position.
Gotcha.
Similarly, you can magnify the text that you're reading in handouts when the camera is pointing down, and when you move the camera to look up into the scene, the motor will move up the camera. The lens will automatically open, and it moves into a viewing mode for distance viewing. Same functional interface for manipulating the camera, and
then beginning the document read. This is kind of an all-in-one application suite that's on the computer you were explaining.
Right. Essentially, you have one product that's a multifunction device.
Uh-huh.
Probably the first of its kind ever to be shown, and it sort of encompasses a whole range of useful devices all in one portable unit.
Wow.
The OCR module is a selective text reader. Once again, it's not designed for scanning books and reading books to you.
Right, it's so it's designed, more spot reading?
It's on the spot reading. It's something you have in the classroom with you.
Gotcha.
You identify the area where you want this text to start reading, double click it on the screen, and it'll start reading.
Wow. So. And that's all from with an application that you run that will connect within that. That is really impressive. And we had talked about that you have speech on board,
right?
So you've got that. And I guess for somebody who has limited motor control, maybe they could not necessarily reach up all the time to the camera or might have some difficulty finding the latch to flip a lens on a traditional camera, this would work out a little better because then they would just have to memorize fewer controls or maybe use a roller ball for, say, somebody who has CP or something to point and click.
Right. Exactly. The only actual control on the camera module itself is an on-off switch.
Gotcha.
There's nothing else on the camera. Everything else is done from keyboard commands, mouse commands, or touchscreen commands.
So screen magnification, OCR, and a video magnifier all in one package.
Portable.
Wow. And it comes with a camera case, I would imagine?
It certainly comes with a padded case to protect it all.
Okay.
It's very portable, designed for students, university or high school students, but equally usable in a vocational setting in a workplace where someone needs portability to go to meetings and so on.
So this is shipping now?
Actually, this is the first pre-production 10 units we've got here at the trade show. Production has started. First customer availability is the end of March.
And where can people go to learn more about the unit?
You can go to, we've got a website set up, flickcamera.com.
Okay.
And it's got video links and information about how the camera can be ordered and who manufactures it.
That sounds fantastic. I appreciate your time, babe.
Great.
Thank you so much.
Good to meet you.
Absolutely. For the Saratog Podcast Network, this is Joe Steinkamp.
I'm live at CSUN 2012 for the Saratog Podcast Network. I'm Ricky Enger, and I'm here with Terry Noland from Learning Ally. Hello, Terry.
Hello.
Great to have you on the podcast. We have lots of listeners who are big fans of what Learning Ally are doing. You guys were formerly Recordings for the Blind and Dyslexic, and people are still getting used to the name. I know that some speech synthesizers call you guys Learning Ally. I'm sure you get all sorts
of
fun
stuff.
We get
that a lot, yes. Yes. But we moved to the name because we were trying to be more inclusive of other populations that use us, like for those students that might have some type of print disability that doesn't fall into the category of dyslexic, or for somebody that might have a physical impairment. And so that's why we moved to Learning Ally, so that you have an ally in learning, and hopefully by now everybody's getting used to the name.
I think it is definitely catching on. For those who aren't currently signed up for the Learning Ally service, how would an individual go about getting involved?
Well, they can go straight to our website, www.learningally.org, and there's information there if you're either a school or if you are an individual. So if you're an individual looking for information, you just go to that, click on that website. You can sign up right online. And we do ask that you have certification to prove that you qualify for our services, but we do cross-certification with the NLS, with Bookshare as well. So if you're certified somewhere, then we check with them and make and get your certification. Once you have that certification, and have paid your membership of $99, you're able to get a free piece of Read Here software that will download to either a PC or a Mac. And so that comes with your $99. And also you have unlimited access to our catalog of over 70,000 book titles.
As far as book titles, are all of your materials primarily audio? Do you produce DAISY as well, so you have text along with the audio?
They're just DAISY audio files at this particular time. We are moving to a text-to-speech capability, and so we're looking to have at least 250 some odd titles by the time that school starts next year, and increase that as we go along.
Excellent. Now, you guys aren't just on the PC and Mac, are you? You're doing a little branching out, right?
We are, and that's what's so exciting, is because we have an app, and we have an app for that. We have an app for iOS devices, your iPad, your iPod Touch, and then also your iPhone. It's $19.99, and you're able to download those books from your online membership and put them onto your device, which makes it very mainstream, first of all. There are also those DAISY books, so you have full navigation and accessibility that you're used to. And, I'm on the go. I can take it with me. And
exactly.
So that's really exciting. And plus, we love the fact that Apple has that built-in text or that voiceover capability on all of their iOS products.
Absolutely. I'm a big voiceover fan myself. We also have some people who are using Android devices, though. It's great to have choices. Are you guys considering creating an Android app, or is that not quite in the works?
We are looking at that. It's a little bit more difficult, but it's definitely something that we're looking at, because we do know that there's populations out there that like the Android. So it's something we're definitely looking at.
Excellent. So along with the name change probably comes some changes in the way that the organization does things, as far as interfacing with other organizations, and as far as kind of how you develop materials and your service model and that kind of thing. Have there been any changes in that respect?
Well, there are changes. We've actually, for our institutional members, meaning that the K-12 populations and also the the college population, postgraduate school, we're moving to a new service model. A lot of times prior, we were locking people into levels of membership and book totals that you were allowed to order in a year, really restricting what people could use. And so we're moving to a model that opens that up. And I'm so excited about the fact that as we move towards this, then you're going to have unlimited access as a school. There's different pricing plans that allow you to do that. And of course, people can contact us directly if you're with an institution that wants membership to find out about those pricing structures. But unlimited access really makes people aware of the fact that they can get more. I'm not just limited to the text that I need, but I can really start listening for fun and pleasure reading as well.
Exactly. So for people who do want to learn more about Learning Ally, where can they go to find out more information?
You can go directly to our website at www.learningally.org, or you can call our member services at 1-800-221-4792.
Good deal. Thanks so much, Terry. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for sharing that wonderful information with us. It is much appreciated.
Thank you.
I'm Ricky Inger, live from CSUN 2012 for the Saratalk Podcast Network.
Thank you for listening so far to the interviews from CSUN 2012. Remember that the first part of these interviews is available over at www.sarotalk.com.
And there's a third part. That's right.
Really?
Even more. Oh, yes.
Wow.
We're just that cool.
I always love the middle part of a trilogy.
Yeah, but unlike The Matrix 3, this third part is fantastic.